This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello! Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ooh, halflings! Oof, definitely felt it in there. It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Oh, wow. That was... Look, honestly, I commend you for going for it, even if your body was like, nice. Hey, wait, what? Like, whoa, we're partway through. It's like when you go to work out after a long time, and you're partway
through... Dude, fully. My knee just went... Oh, yeah. That was the equivalent of my vocal folds just flexed and went, hell no.
Yeah, it's, your body's giving you that look like,
what you do? What is wrong with you?
I don't think you have the facilities for this.
We don't do this anymore.
I don't think you have the facilities.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jeremy Cobb, but Bert from Ohio calls me Jeremy Sweet Blue Hole Cobb. I cannot remember the context of that, but I'm pretty sure it's a reference to something that I may have said.
Yeah, okay. Okay, sweet blue holes.
Before we introduce our guest, I need to give a little quest. Folks, that is currently, I believe, the last nickname that I have on my list of nicknames. We have to replenish. We have not put out a call for nicknames in years. Yeah. But the time has come. Could you please furnish me with some more nicknames? Because
if you're like on our Patreon or something and you haven't submitted a nickname, yes, do so now.
And
do
if
so
you have submitted a nickname but I haven't said it, message us again and then I'll add it to the list.
Double up.
Yeah.
Double up.
Because I may have and add more. By all means, add more.
100%. And just one final thing before we introduce our wonderful guest for today, which is just to say, hi, everyone. I'm back, kind of. Well, you know, we release these episodes in like weird orders and, you know, stuff like that. So things might move around. So I might disappear again. But basically, I've been on paternity leave for anyone who's missed that announcement or whatever, because I have a little baby boy and everything's going wonderful and amazing. And I'm having a great time. But it definitely has meant that baby brain has stopped me from being able to record as often as I would like to. And so I've taken a bit of time out. The guys have been covering for me, but I'm back, baby. Woo. Back. Very excited to be here. Thank you for holding down the fort, Jeremy and Liv. You guys are awesome. Jeremy Cobb. Oh, this feels nice to be back in the saddle. What's happening today? Who have we got? We got a friendo here.
Yes.
We got a friend of the pod. We got a dope ass person.
Yes.
Here. Is that correct?
Yes. Halfling Nation. We are very pleased to introduce your 7th favorite hip hop person, Nerd D.
Hey, oh my God. This is lovely.
Full Prince vibe. Woo!
Let's make them even more black.
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no.
On a nat 20.
No.
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting, and I love it.
Get into something real big now.
Thanks, Sweet Blue.
Halfling Stadium.
I appreciate the intro.
This is like the first person. This is the first person we brought out into the Halfling Stadium where it kind of like makes sense. You know what I mean? Like we've got a full blown musician walking out here, mic in hand. You know what I mean? Like this is sick. We got the lights going.
Yeah,
we got some dry ice.
There's a fog.
It's amazing that you came out onto this interview holding a physical microphone.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, popping out the stage.
Nerdy, why? Yeah, you came prepared.
Yeah, you know, if so you prepared. Come to the halflings, you gotta represent.
You gotta come right.
That's
you know what
everybody,
mean?
Every green room I've ever been in, that's what they've been talking about every time I'm there. So,
you know, every green room?
Everyone.
Is there a halfling green room that we weren't informed of? Because I would like to sit in this green room from time to time.
I know. They've said
it's
that.
It's a secret green room just for 3BH guests.
Yep, for the guests.
It's the halflings are not
only
allowed
for the guests.
Access.
Nope. It's where we get to talk about how we feel about you guys as a team.
Whoa.
The decompression chamber.
Deep.
Yeah.
I can already see the groups of people and differing opinions forming in that huge green room of all the
There's factions, aren't there? I'm sure there's factions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. There was there was a big schism about a year back.
Oh, right. No.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Was it Dominic Monaghan and Billy Boyd just asking why they're still here and what the hell... You know, what this is.
Especially, because a lot of people aren't allowed to leave the green room, so it's a whole extra thing.
Well, yeah, that's exactly true, right? That's my assumption, is that you can't leave, right?
No. If you're wondering where your favorite guests have been, they have never left. They weren't allowed to leave.
That is
a rule.
I'm just really thankful to get this chance to say I'm being taken care of. They are feeding me. I'm all right. You don't have to keep looking for me.
You can't see the video, but Nerdy is currently blinking out help in Morse code.
And Brennan Lee Mulligan is holding up a sign behind him, saying...
It's a whole thing.
It says, this is not a drill, but backwards, so that it works on camera. Yeah,
yeah, no, real Lord of the Flies
situation. Weirdly, Matthew Lillard is standing next to him holding a physical drill. So I'm not sure if he's referring to that drill or
to the actual drill or to.
Yeah, now I'm confused.
As you should be. It's a part of our strategy to get out of here is utter confusion.
Oh, very funny. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. I must say, it is really freaking nice having a musician on. Both myself and Jeremy were saying how, like, moments before coming on this, we were just vibing out to some of your music.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's like, that's a wonderful way to, like, do podcast prep. You know what I mean? Like, normally I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll check out someone's show, whatever. Like, oh, this is cool. This is nice. But, like, when you get to just vibe out some good music, that's pretty dope. Well,
I appreciate
that very much.
I'm glad that you're enjoying the stuff. We know. We love it. It's the best job in the world. That's what I say. I love it. I wouldn't change a thing. Other than the entire industry. But outside of that, I wouldn't change.
Sure. Well, we can definitely talk a little bit about that later. And I think that, like, why don't we mix the format? Jeremy, if you will allow me. Why don't we mix the format up slightly?
Please.
Because
stir the cauldron. Mix it all.
Yeah. This was Jeremy's suggestion originally, but I'm going to flip them around because we're going to ask you two origin stories.
Ooh.
For two origin stories. Crazy. We've never done this before. But I think just since we're talking about your music, I would love to know what your, like, musical origin story was. And then we'll ask about your nerdy one afterwards. But, like, what is the kind of genesis for nerdy as, like, you know, as, like, you, that kind of your the hip hop persona, but also like just you getting into music?
So I've always been a music adjacent person. I mean, it was a lot in my family, but I started doing music as, like, a performing since high school. You know, I was in theater. Your boy was Busta for Jones and Cats. Shout out to everybody who's been Busta for Jones. We're an elite brotherhood.
The role made famous by James Corden.
Oh, wow. We don't invite him to the meets. But, so I've always been the big on
stage. In fact,
stage.
We have to keep sending him deceased and desist. Like, please stop.
He's
stop.
In the green room for some reason. Yeah.
Please stop.
I don't know why he's in the green room.
He's
he
everywhere.
Won't leave. We never invite him.
James Corden's in the 3BH green room, title of the episode. Anyway, carry on.
We've officially said his name just as many times. He'll appear. I've always been big into performing, and out of high school, I was in a bunch of rock bands, actually, funny enough. None of them did particularly well. However, after I was like, maybe this rock thing isn't for me, I decided to just sort of try hip hop, mostly because at this point in my life, I was like, if I'm going to do this music thing, I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be, because I was trying to be really industry. I don't, that phrase is kind of like, you try to do what the cool kids are doing, if that makes any sense. Mm. And I was just
Or the thing that you perceive from the outside will get you inside.
100%.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And like, so I was just so, I was like, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to rap about what I like. I'm going to just kind of be a weirdo. And if people are into it, they're into it. And if not, then I'll figure out something else to do. Well, lo and behold, being yourself and being just like and liking what you're doing is a great recipe for success. So I was so thankful. I had so many awesome fans and people coming up to me like, oh, I really like this. I like this thing that you're doing, this nerdy thing you're doing. Like, please, like, do more of that. And so I took this old name that I used to use when I was rapping with my brother and his friends in like high school just for fun. And I changed it into a moniker that like sort of speaks to me. Because, you know, when you get called a nerd so often, you turn it around into a positive thing. I was like, yeah, you know what? I am nerdy. You're right. I am. Like, you're correct. I am very much that. And now it's a brand. And I've been around the world doing both music about TTRPGs and then TTRPGs all in like a cool little gumbo. It's so fun. So I'm having a blast.
That's epic.
Awesome.
It's really, really cool. So how did then the kind of, so that's obviously the genesis of the music, and then like it sounds like you started with the kind of nerdy stuff like pretty early with, you said, with your brother. So like, yeah. is that like the origins for you as a nerd as well, or did it sort of,
I've always been just like that? A nerd. I love, there's just certain things that I was just always sort of into, that it was weird. I know. Pro wrestling, comic books, Dungeons and Dragons. I was playing Dungeons and Dragons in like middle school, you know. Now, granted, I was doing it back when it was like Satan was running it, if you remember back in the 90s.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
When Satan was running all Dungeons and Dragons. So it had to kind of be
those envelopes. Are the days.
Those
were the
days before Satan sold it to Wizards.
Yeah, before he sold it to Wizards of the Coast. Like, was kind of like that time period.
We're not making any comments on TSR, by the way. There are no comments being made here on TSR. It is 100% a joke.
Those of you who are born in the time period, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I loved playing that kind of stuff. And then so the nerdy, the name was always kind of there, but the drive to do music wasn't. And the TTRPGs, as in like a, I never knew that this was something that you could do like even semi-professionally. Most of my time I was just playing in basements with friends. You know what I mean? I just never thought about it. And it wasn't until I got a call from this group called the Double Click, shout out to the Double Clicks. And they were like, hey, do you want to do this concert for this thing called Gen Con? And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but okay. And so I was online because it was during the lockdown. And I just found out about this, like, the world had opened up. I'd never watched Critical Role. I didn't know any of like this stuff that had even been happening. So I didn't know outside of Stranger Things talked about Dungeons and Dragons that like there was this wave coming where this thing I've been doing for so much was like becoming like a really cool thing to do. And then I got asked to do a stream by a homie by the moniker of Dice Cream Sandwich, brought me on, and the
friend
rest
of the show.
Yeah, the rest is sort of history. Like, I just been able to play on so many awesome actual plays and both live in person. And I started up my own live action theater, Dungeons and Dragons type thing, which is really fun. I've just been diving headfirst into the world of TTRPGs. Mm-hmm.
And that was actually where you and I met, was on one of Dice Cream Sandwich's streams. It was promoting, if I remember correctly, D&D in a Castle, because neither he nor I had been to D&D in a Castle at that point. So it was like in the lead up to D&D in a Castle back in 2021. My lord. It feels like such a long time ago.
The time.
It was like 2 years, but it feels a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So family fills into that like post-COVID world where everything is different now. You know what I mean? Like everything is different now.
It felt like walking out of the vaults in Fallout. What's going on out here?
And I think also, and I wonder, you know, for yourself, I don't know sort of when you would sort of say that you've, you know, you're sort of coming into this like success and everything that you're having, like when you feel like that was. But I know that like for me, coming out of lockdown genuinely did feel like coming out of the vaults, because not even the world was different, but my own personal circumstance was so different, you know, from like when I went in. It was like I went in a touring theater actor and came out a D&D podcaster. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like, it was so
drastically,
you know,
different.
So different. Yeah. It was just like, you know, it was really kind of, it really was like a weird experience. And I wonder, like, just quickly, like, you know, you talked about this like wave of like TTRPGs and realizing you could do it as a career. You know, like, you have such a unique thing in the fact that you blend it you know, that love and passion with your music. Mm. Like, how did you find those few years? You know, like, other than like horrific and stressful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we can take all those as given.
Yes.
But, like, I'm just wondering if there was any positives for you during that time.
Yeah, I think it was one of those. So I was on the rise, right? In 2019, I started rapping in 2018, and it was kind of just like a rapid thing. I was like performing with like Tyler the Creator, the Wu-Tang Clan, blah 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 blah. And I'm getting all these bookings, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's up." And then I quit my job November 19th, 2019. Like, yeah, I'm out. The world is my oyster. It's going to be music 24/7. Live crowd. Thousands of people all gathered together breathing the same air. Like, you know what I mean? I had a very unique, like, thing that I was looking forward to. And then
the nerdy super spreader tour.
Yeah, for real?
We started in Italy.
Yeah, we went around
Wuhan, China.
We loved it.
Great. We started in China.
Yeah,
we were international.
Kissing people on the mouth, just straight up. Like, hand sanitizer.
It was
kind of
my thing.
Why is
that? It was my thing. It was my thing for the tour. We kissed on the mouth.
Everybody.
I had a song where every time we hit the chorus, you got to kiss somebody else right on the mouth.
Anybody else?
Not someone you know.
No.
It's going to be someone
new.
It's
going to
be someone new.
Not in your household. It had to be someone completely different from you. Definitely someone immunocompromised. So that was like the whole point. So
put your hands in the air if you're immunocompromised.
Get him, boys.
So
spit in their mouth.
I'm dead. Oh my god. That was my plan.
That's a different
it's
song.
Funny how it's funny how life just takes your dreams sometimes and changes them. Ever so slightly. So I
Nadi,
please continue.
If you can carry on.
No, okay. So I did that.
Microphone.
I quit my job. I tried to
find
get out.
Someone and spit in their mouth.
It was just the wildest time. I will say that. So coming out
of
the vault. Coming out of the vault
during
that time was such a unique experience for me because I did a lot of live stream shows via, and I learned about this, all these new worlds that were kind of building online, essentially. A lot of these TTRPG spaces are online and just grew there, you know what I mean? Mm. And so just being a part of that kind of slowly but surely was really, really awesome. And then like TikTok blew up because no one had anything else to do. So then all of a sudden all these other people are connected to each other. And so I think that what I really realized that I was doing something different was the first time I got asked to play Gen Con live, like with my music, and just walking in and being like, wow, what a difference from me playing rock and roll, you know, clubs out in Minnesota, you know, at Pickle Park in Fridley. That doesn't make anything lesser from here. But and then here I am at the world's biggest gaming convention. I have a table. Yeah. I have coffee specifically with a one shot that I made that a coffee shop is selling, and I'm selling it here. You know what I mean? And it's just like, wow, you're just I didn't think that this thing that I used to got made fun of for doing would become like a source of income, but then also just like a cool thing that I can hang my hat on. The amount of things that I've been booked because I play Dungeons and Dragons, because I play TTRPGs that have nothing to do with TTRPGs is astonishing. Just people just know that you do this thing and they're like, oh, cool. You seem like a cool person.
Yeah.
It's fully wild. Yeah. Like I had the first time the other day I experienced, I walked into, it was the same studio where they actually made Baldur's Gate. So maybe I should have seen it coming.
Of course.
But I walked in for a job, for a recording thing, and I walked in, and for anyone that's watched Dimension 20, Burrow's End, my character has his cult has like a catchphrase. It sounds way worse than it is. But has like a saying
mouth
that they say to each other. Yeah, spit in my mouth. That's the phrase. but no, like, and I basically walked into the studio, and the director was like, writing the song Swift in the Wind. And I was like, yo, did I get this job? Because I didn't even audition for this job. I just like, oh, I just got an email being like, you want to do this? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, yeah, sure. And then I was like, whoa, did I get this job because I played D&D? Sick.
That's
like,
so dope.
And that was like, so, it's so surreal, that's right? Really it's like cool. Very crazy to be like, oh, I'm now getting work off of like the back of doing this, you know, this thing that genuinely like I just love doing and yeah. want, you know, want to like immerse myself in as much as possible. And I can imagine for you, like, you know, when you imagined yourself playing, you know, sold out screaming crowds, you know, doing it at Gen Con probably wasn't like in your like realm of that's possible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's, I felt that's so cool. And I guess as well, like really interesting, just, was there a difference in that crowd? Because I feel a TTRPG crowd, like, we can get a little wild.
Crowds are so different. It's my favorite thing about having such a, like, it's not two different worlds, but it's very, the name. So as soon as I'm booked, people kind of, like, have an idea, like, they're like, oh, he's going to be Megaran, which I'm not Megaran. But, like, they're just like, oh, he's going to be this thing. And other times I'll be booked and they're going like, oh, well, he's only going to be nerd stuff or he's not going to do that at all. I love doing the song like 20 Cha, right? Which is just Dungeons and Dragons references and seeing the difference in crowd. The crowds that don't play Dungeons and Dragons, they're just vibing out. They're like, they're dancing, they're enjoying the music. The crowds that do play Dungeons and Dragons, half the time they're not dancing. They're just like, oh, he said roll with initiative. That's hilarious. Oh, he said this other thing. Oh, I know what that is. Oh, snap. I know a beholder. I know what that is. And like, they're just like hitting each other, being like, oh, you hear that? Mm-hmm. So it is very fun to have two very different audiences. But it's like in the last year, those audiences have been coming, like the Venn diagram is getting closer and closer together as, you know, TTRPGs and just nerd stuff in general becomes more and more of just like the regular public zeitgeist. Like I'll have people, I was at a Ludacris concert. I'm opening up for Ludacris, right? And I'm doing my set. My soundtrack.
Sorry, can I just wheel back? Just wheel back for 2 seconds?
That is extremely
you
cool.
You cannot just drop that and not expect us to give you some flowers, dude.
Well,
here you go.
I'm happy. Yeah. I appreciate
that's dope
it. I will
as
take
hell.
These flowers. These
that's
are lovely.
That's one wonderful. Of the sickest sentences that's ever been like uttered.
Yeah, I was opening up for Ludacris.
Opening for Ludacris. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, yes.
It was
a ludicrous statement, frankly.
Yeah, it was a ludicrous
thing to say.
He was very cool, very nice, very awesome team. But I had finished doing a 20 shot thing, and then one of the team came up to me and were like, yo, I love Dungeons & Dragons. It's regular.
Wow.
I was on tour
doing
DMing in the green room. Like, people think it's all one thing or all the other, and it's really not. You can kind of just, when you base your brand off of being yourself, you can really do whatever you want, and you're never out of place regardless of what crowd you're in front of, because you're just like, this is me every time. I don't put on a different act when I'm in a majoratively, like, and I'm doing the, and I did the halftime show for the Timberwolves, Minnesota Timberwolves. It was in the NBA. You wouldn't think it'd be a Dungeons and Dragons crowd, but when I do a bit, I did a Dragon Ball Z bit or a Dragon Ball Z bit, it popped.
Yeah.
People popped because it's just like, oh,
hey,
yeah.
If there's enough black people in that crowd, then the Dragon Ball
Z is going to hit.
That's just a percentage
when the family's
game,
around,
you know what I mean?
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's just always going to hit.
It's a black show.
Exactly.
Oh, man. We're putting that in there. Why don't we see the Dragon Ball Z people in more of those graphic tees? Because I feel like they deserve to be a part of the black characters.
Yeah,
like Knuckles and
especially Piccolo.
Oh, Piccolo!
Yeah, Piccolo is a black icon.
Yeah,
you know
Piccolo
what I mean.
Piccolo is one of the most famous black characters. I think.
Yes,
animated characters.
Easy.
Yeah. Piccolo is more of a black role model to me than my own father. I'm like, that's how important Piccolo is in my life.
That's the realest thing in the world. Oh no!
Yeah.
The way I immediately was like, yeah, yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah,
like, in my
head. Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's not the
there
stepdad.
There's so many
he's
black people listening to this just went, yep.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yep,
that's
100%.
Real. Yeah, that's
real. Okay.
Yeah. Strong black role models.
Okay, do we ever talk about whether or not the Justice League animated Martian Manhunter is black? Because
he's black, right?
Yeah, he's for sure black.
He's black.
To the point where when I saw him depicted as white in other media, like his John Jones form was white in a lot of other media, I was like, what are you doing?
It's yeah, weird, nah. And I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, okay, here's the weirdest one.
Yeah.
Here's the weirdest one for you guys. Genuine question. I was like just getting too old for this, but I had two little brothers who watched the shit out of this show. Mm. I used to go through in my head and figure out which of Ben 10's transformations were black. Because 100% some of his transformations are black.
Ooh.
Like the green crystal dude.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He had so much attitude, this deep ass voice. He was thick as hell.
Diamond
I was like,
was it Diamondback?
He's a brother.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he's 100%.
Black. 100% oh man, there's so like, many aliens too.
There's a whole 3BH episode in here of us just going through the Ben 10 transformations and working out which ones are black and not.
Oh my gosh, I'm here.
But like,
for
yeah,
that
for sure.
So
there's
much.
A couple of them that I was like, yeah.
Diamond
I'm fine
Head.
With that. Like you know, Diamond Head. That's it. That's he was 100. I mean, Diamond Head. Listen to that.
Yeah.
If Diamond Head was opening up for Ludacris, everyone would be like, okay.
Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah,
that's a you know sense. that's a black rap name.
Yeah, no,
Diamond Head. Hell yeah,
that's dope. I would say Rollaway is also probably the big Rolly one.
Yeah.
Now that's going to be something I think about for the rest of my life. And I do. I have a running list. I have a running list on my phone of characters who aren't technically black but can say the N-word. And I'm going to add Diamond Head. Just Diamond Head, though.
What was the,
not
wait,
Ben.
Yeah. No, wait. No, no. They,
no,
what,
not Ben.
Yeah, no, no. Not Ben. Ben. Whoa.
Yeah, I know enough of the show to know it's not Ben. Ben 10 is not on that
it'll
list.
Never be Ben.
What about the only other one? See, there's one. The only other one that I that definitely needs to be on that list is the dude with four. The red dude with four arms.
Four
whatever
arms?
His name,
four
like,
arms.
That guy. Yeah. Is that four arms? That
I think
cool?
It's just four arms. 100%.
Mm-hmm. You need to add him to the list as well.
Yeah, he's got
Skeeter from Doug.
Oh, he's on the
you
list.
You ever watch Skeeter from Doug?
Yep. Yeah,
Skeeter from Doug.
Skeeter from Doug
list.
Is on the list. Yeah. It's not a long list.
Yep.
It's Nick. It is Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep. 100%.
100%.
It's Hitmonlee from Pokemon.
Yes.
Oh!
But not Hitmonchan or Hitmontop?
No, Hitmonlee.
No, Hitmonlee.
But Hitmontop is breakdancing.
Sure is. And I don't believe it. I don't sense it. I got Skeeter. I have Goofy and Max because they're black. They've been black.
Yep.
I have Chowder and Schnitzel.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Most of the gargoyles.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Question. Can we add, if we're just cycling back to Pokemon, can we add Diglett or no?
Ooh. Diglett.
I'm just saying.
And what about Dugtrio?
Dugtrio's
the squad, right? That's like, you know, rolling up with your boys.
I'm going to look up Alolan Diglett, because Alolan Diglett may be like his white cousin, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I'm going to put Diglett with
Alolan Diglett. Alolan Diglett is blonde, and Alolan Dugtrio has
say,
long,
the little
blonde,
blonde
hair. So then they're the non-black ones, then. So then, okay, Diglett.
Yeah.
Well, I'll specifically Diglett put the non-Aloha version.
the non-Aloha.
non-Lola version, 100%. I made sure to put most of the gargoyles, because there's what was his name? Hudson? He was the old, he's the old Jewish guy. And then, what was it? Not Lexington, because he was definitely a brother. But it was the red one. The one with the beak and the motorcycle. He was definitely not.
Oh,
so the rest of them,
Teenage 100%. Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, they're all black.
All of them. All of them.
And when they get turned into humans in the most recent comic book run, they're all black. And so I was like, oh, snap, they made it official. So they are... I don't put them in the list anymore because they are black. You know what I mean? They're not technically.
Exactly.
They aren't technically, but they are black. They just are turtle people. But there's a lot. Obviously, Dr.
There's
Teeth
a lot.
And there's, the
this is
Mayhem,
this is.
But that's about that's the last one. I was
this
saying.
Is you've genuinely unlocked possibly what is going to be is already my future favorite episode of Three Black Halflings. We're gonna go through Pokemon, we're gonna go through Digimon, we're gonna go through all your favorite animes.
I got a controversial one.
Ooh.
Do we allow Jinx?
Jinx? Which Jinx?
Jinx?
Jinx from Teen Titans?
No, Jinx from Pokemon.
Ooh.
Whoa.
The controversial Jinx from Pokemon.
Yeah,
who
I know.
Used
not
to
the
be
purple
colored
one.
Black
not the purple one.
Until they made her purple. Yeah.
I'm gonna say because it's clearly a blackface superpowered person. No. Because I wouldn't say Mr. Okay. Popo. Mr. Popo. It's the same situation with Mr. Popo.
Mr. Popo is inexcusable, is what
he means. Yeah, Mr. Popo is bad. The purple one? Yeah. Yes. The original Jinx? No.
No. Smoochum. Mm. Can Smoochum get in?
I like Smoochum.
Her pre-evolved... Yeah, I like Smoochum. I think Smoochum's cute.
I like Smoochum. I think Smoochum couldn't help what they will become. That's not their fault.
If I had kids, I'd let them play with Smoochum.
Yeah. Smoochum is a good person. It's like the color of friendship from the Disney Channel. Like, sometimes you just gotta, like...
We talked about that recently.
Oh, color of friendship,
we talked about that.
What a thing.
I watched that growing up. The fact that it has multiple uses of an actual slur.
It's
like an actual racial slur.
Like, it's wild.
In a Disney Channel original movie.
They're like, we're cooking with this one.
Wild.
We are cooking with this one.
That's I don't know what they were cooking. They cooked something.
Equality is what they were trying to cook. I don't know if they achieved it. And they also stopped playing that like at any time where kids would be up for like a really long time.
I wonder why. You know, it's a strange choice to me.
Right after Black and White Zorro, you got the color of friendship. Oh, boy.
Okay. The last ones I want to put on there, very specific Eevee evolutions.
Yes.
I'm thinking Umbreon.
Umbreon, yes. 100%. Yeah. Umbreon.
Jolteon, yes.
I'll give you Jolteon for sure.
I like Jolteon.
Flareon? Those would be my three, I would say.
I like Flareon.
I like Umbreon and Jolteon.
I like Jolteon.
Jolteon, I think. There's a case for Vaporeon. I'll be honest. Like, I think it's pretty cold. Like, I think... There's a world that I can see it. Maybe
I
a little
think
mixed race.
Eevee
you know what I mean?
Just black. I think Eevee
I'll
is
give you
just
Eevee
black.
Is. You know Eevee is 100% black.
It's the drip.
But there's no way that like Glaceon
that
or whatever
happens.
Is getting in.
Glaceon
that's what
not,
I'm saying.
Yeah, Glaceon and Leafeon.
Glaceon
are
is
white.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Glaceon and Leafeon are white.
Yeah.
Vaporeon, I could go either. Espeon, I could go either way with. I could see Espeon as like somebody who's light skinned.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Facts. We'll say. The mixed race, light skinned dude.
We're doing
nice.
It.
Like
Eevee
that.
Making
like
it work.
Okay.
Yeah. We
Eevee,
love it.
Nice.
I love it. Yeah. We're bringing a lot of the Pokemon in, and I ask all of you at home to make sure you're making a list as well, just in case you hear a character from your favorite media use the word and check the list, and if they aren't on it, then you can cancel.
Any animated shows you watch,
just double check the list.
Find out.
Seriously,
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
There it is.
Seriously, get in the comments. Let us know which ones you want us to go through. We'll go through all your faves.
We'll double check them.
And we'll do black or not.
Yeah, we'll do black or not.
You know what I mean?
I'm
gonna say black or not.
I think Beast Boy. I think Beast Boy is Asian. I think Beast Boy is Asian.
In the most recent adaptation on Titans, they got that Asian actor to play Beast Boy. And I'm here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm here for that.
I could also see a little like Miles Morales-y type with, you know, like maybe Asian black mix.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying? Like I could definitely see.
I've always thought, definitely see something like that. For some reason, he always struck me as like Hispanic youth. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, if he said stuff in Spanish, I'd be like, yeah, cool. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, a little bit multicultural, definitely. The character is built for just like the connection between all things. So, I like the idea that him being a multicultural person would be really interesting. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All of this is leading me to a question that I've been wanting to ask, which is, Nerdy, how has your blackness informed your experience and relationship to nerdy stuff and to musical stuff, both just personally and in terms of your career?
I think I'll do it my career first because I think it's easier. Which is a wild sentence with everything that entails. But I think being black and doing hip hop, I'm in my culture. So it is a little bit of like a coming home. I was raised in a primarily white area, Rosemont, Minnesota, for those of you who might not know. It's majoritively white, and but we moved there from the Bronx, so it was a very different group of people. And one of the things I think when you live in such a long time, you forget that you have a space, that you have a culture, that you have a thing that's like yours, you can engage with it. And I thought for such a long time, I was like, I can't rap because I lived here. Like, I can't engage in this because I do this. I sound like this. I play these games. Maybe I'm not, you know, around for that. Mm-hmm. But I think since doing it, just doing it and realizing that it's not the case, like, you are a part of this. This is your culture. This is your family and growing. And specifically with what happened in Minnesota over 2020 after the murder of George Floyd, and my direct involvement in that, in the uprising, in the subsequent summer of like protests and all of that stuff, just learning more and being more connected to that side of like myself and that side of my musicianship really changed kind of what being nerdy was to me. And like when I did 38th in Chicago, two albums back to back about that incident, and really being like, hey, yeah, you loved my, you know, you loved the Digimon references. Yeah, you loved all this other stuff. And if you enjoy that, this is also me. This is just as much me as that stuff is. If you like that, let's come on a ride with me. And if not, then this might be where we get off. Because I can't keep just playing games and talking about these things if I'm not also pushing for a world where, you know, things are different and people are treated with the respect they reserve regardless of the color of the skin, right? So that was a big shift in my career, is to hold in, to lean into my blackness, to really embrace it and put it out in the forefront. And not that I was ever hiding it, but more like this, I'm going out of my way to express it, which is great. I've lost fans, sure, but there were fans that I wouldn't really want to have coming on this journey with me, because eventually they would have got upset when I said something pro-black. And then as a nerd, as a consumer of like geek and nerd culture, it really does change the way I watch things. It changes the very stories that I watch as I've been engulfing in my blackness really change. I think I would have watched them differently 5 years, 7 years from now. Case in point, One Piece, right? Love One Piece. I'm a huge One Piece fan. I got my Luffy hat hanging up on the hat rack, right? I love One Piece. But one of the things I realized was like the fishmen in that thing are black. They're black people. The fishmen are black people. First, my dog is even named Jinbei. That's how much I love this stuff. But when when you watch it from a lens of like, oh, wow, these are like an oppressed people, like they're subjugated, look at all this stuff that's going on, you feel more. I've been just feeling more when I engage in this content. I think I have less space for just like, oh, we just didn't think to put any black people in the thing, or we didn't think to put any people of color. I just have less, like I just go like, oh, I just won't consume it then. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, if you didn't take the time, I guess I just won't consume it then. And I wouldn't have done that before. I would have just, you know, just kept rocking. So I think that's really, it's changed the way I watch things. It changed the way I consume things. It changes the way that I engage with media, which is actually for the better. Because I'm having a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that is like, you know, as people who work as like content creators, you know, there's always that thing of like, oh, the market's so saturated, it's just like endless amounts of content and everything like that. But I agree with you. I think people are kind of getting more picky, right? Like people are being really specific about the things they want to watch now, because it's like, well, listen, I can go and watch anything I want to. You know what I mean? I want to watch a giant monster, I can watch literally hundreds of movies that are about giant monsters. If I want to go and watch something, you know, about vampire fairies, I can probably find it.
That's True Blood.
Exactly. And I do think that's one of the nice things that is coming out of the saturation, is that I feel like we're slowly getting back to the other way now, where studios and people that are creating content are actually having to be like very specific about like who their audience is and who's coming to the table. Because then I think you get not just like a fan, but like someone who is like dedicated, you know, like it's kind of what I feel like we have with Three Black Halflings, right? It's like we have this incredible audience of people who is like, who loves what we do and believes in what we do, and actually is way more engaged than like I am with just like a Netflix show or do you know what I mean? It's like something that I feel passionate about. And I feel like it's the same thing that you're kind of speaking to, is like actually being, feeling empowered to saying like, I don't want to interact with this thing. It's making me, it either makes me feel icky or just, hey, I don't see myself in it.
Yeah, I have to watch I'm good. That's fine. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing.
Yeah.
I'm
not saying this is bad.
Yeah. That's an internet thing that people, I think, need to learn to re-engage with that skill. Because I'll just be like, oh, no. For example, my hot take example. Because I'm always like, I've never watched Critical Role. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? What? And I was like, yeah, there's not enough black people on it. The end. Mm-hmm. Like, I just...
For legal reasons, we have to say we love Critical Role.
Critical Role, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Those people are very talented. It's a lot of, it's brought so much joy and so much prestige onto this thing that I love. Mm. So it's like one of the, like Michael Jordan, like you don't have to like him as a person to know that he changed the game. If you like basketball,
you will respect
the work that this person did. But like, it's one of those things where you can just be like, yeah, no, that's not for my consumption. It's just, but I can tell that it's cool. People hear that and they hear, oh, but if I like it, then they think that I'm bad. And I'm like, no, never said that. Said that at all. Like, just,
it's because people, no, it's because that, people have that over identification with with a property, with a work, with a piece of art that they say, like, it is a part of who they are. And so for you to not like that feels like you don't like them, or at least don't like part of them. And it's
uncomfortable.
I've fallen into that a lot, but I don't think that that's a healthy way to engage with media. Especially not something that's as parasocially inclined as TTRPGs and Critical Role can be.
It's a thing that people like, I feel like you miss the forest through the trees when you have that kind of mentality, because you can always, instead of being like, oh, they don't like this thing that I like, why don't you ask them about the thing that they do like? Oh, that doesn't do it for you? Oh, well, because of this reason, well, what's a thing that does it right? And then you might find something else that you like. You know what I mean? That's really cool. Like, to be open to learning new things and getting new stuff, as opposed to feeling like you need to protect like a brand. That's why I like Gen Z, because Gen Z kids, they're like, we don't care about these brands at all. Like, if you guys step out the line, we're done with you. You know what I mean? They're loyal to the chaos. All right, that's all. That's what they're loyal to. They're loyal to
the subject of, now we're all three people who here enjoy multiple anime properties.
I love it.
And we're talking about engaging with works as a black person.
Yeah,
I'm curious, because in my experience, anime's track record with actually depicting black people, not just characters that you can read as black, but actual black people, is very bad. Yes. It's mostly very, very bad. Not every single case. I know it's very controversial as a series, but Attack on Titan probably has the best depiction of a black guy I've ever seen in anime, where he's just a cool dude.
He's just there,
but
and it's fine.
Yeah, he's just a cool dude. But by and large, like, for example, The Promised Neverland, the only black character basically in that series, both the manga and the anime, it's even worse in the manga. She's like, feels like we took Hattie McDaniel's character from Gone with the Wind and made her a villain. It's not good. And, like, I mean, we already mentioned Mr. Popo. Jinx.
Yep.
Those are hardly isolated cases. Yes. Dragon Ball Z, Mr. Popo is not even the only case in Dragon Ball Z.
No.
Like, especially
Dragon Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Like, as a black person engaging with that media, seeing these bizarre, caricatured, offensive depictions of black people. How does that work for both? I guess all three of us can talk about that as fans of the media.
It's one of those things that, first of all, I always, because I was raised in a mostly white area, I think one of my instinctual, reflexive responses that was born out of a need to protect, self-preservation, is to try and see from their perspective. And not saying that that's the right thing to do. I'm just saying that it is something that I do and I can't turn it off because of how I was raised and where I was raised. So the first thing I go like, they don't know what they're doing. In some instances, I feel like it's less and less cool now as the world is getting smaller and smaller. The internet is free. Google is free. Da, 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 da. But when I watch something like Dragon Ball and I remember when it was made, and I remember what the 80s. Sensibilities were when it was made. I give my, you know what I mean? I take a second, I take a breath, you know what I mean? And I go, okay. You know what I mean? That wasn't cool. Yeah. That wasn't all right. Like, but that's not being done now. Like, I don't see that character in, I don't see Mr. Popo in My Hero Academia. You know what I mean? Like, the medium is moving forward. And because a lot of anime is us finding out of anime that happened already because it's coming overseas, I try to give myself a little bit, like give them a little bit of a break and give myself a little bit of a break. One Piece is a great example of that. While it is a very progressive show in many aspects of the show, it's also just like a product of its time. There are some really bad like racism. There's really bad sexism. There's really bad transphobia. It's like a big part of the show. Sanji's entire 2-year power up literally comes from the fact that he is so disgusted by the concept of a man in a dress touching him that he would rather fly. He would rather find a way to fly than to just like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it's not, it's not good. But I ask myself, like, is it moving in the direction of progress? And if I do see that more and more as we go forward, these characters aren't as bad. Like Ogun Montgomery is my example of a black person in anime that it was depicted regularly in Fire Force. He's just a brother. Like, he's just a brother. He's like he's not important, but he's not like nothing. He's got an interesting power sect. He's cool. He's got stuff. And he's just a brother. And that's it. Capable, doesn't speak in a weird, funny accent. No yo-yo-yos or anything like that. Just a guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Killer Bee. Just moving forward. Killer Bee was a little like jivey, but you know.
I never liked Killer Bee very much, I'll be honest. I was like, like, this is the only black guy that we have in the series so far, and this is how he talks?
Yeah, that's okay.
Which, to be fair, I have not seen the anime. I only watched a few episodes of the anime. I read like the first 300 issues of the manga or so. Every time Killer Bee showed up, I was always like.
The dub is a little jivey. I'm not going to pretend. But, that's my take on it.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I feel like, so my thing on this is that, like, I actually have a bit of a worry on this front, which is that, like, I feel like the way that like we interact with the internet and stuff online now, like, I kind of wonder whether we, like, black people have the same, like, find the same solace in anime now that, like, that we did when we were younger. Like, now, if they were just interacting, because, like, the way that I interact with all of the media online now is, like, I'll, like, talk to my friends about it, or I'll go online, or I'll talk to people on Discord, or I'll, you know, like, check it out, and, you know, check out stuff, like, videos on it on YouTube and things like that. And I feel like if black people found anime today for, like, the first time, I kind of feel like we wouldn't have it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be this kind of, like, cultural touchstone for black people, because we will be like, this is hella racist. And that's not to say that it's not. It's just that we can't also deny at the same time that a collective huge proportion of black people, especially the diaspora in, like, you know, in like the UK and in America and, you know, all over the world, found anime and were like, this is my shit. You know, this is loud. It's kind of like, it's like, the, there's like a lyricism, there's like a music to this, and white people are scared of it. Let's fucking go. I love anime. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, genuinely, like, you know, like, they're all watching these cutesy cartoons and I'm watching a dude get punched through a building. This is my jam, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess my feeling is like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know how to marry up those two things in the sense that, like, there's a very real, genuine thing that black people found a home with this genre whilst it was also super fucking problematic for, like, a number of reasons. You know what I mean? So, like, and I my only, like, takeaway is I kind of feel like, man, I wonder what would happen if, like, black people right now didn't watch anime and then tomorrow we found, you know, collectively everyone found anime, would it be, you know, would all black people just be like, well, what is this janky horrible thing? Because the collective narrative about it would be, look at these, you know, terrible characters. I don't, like,
it depends on what we saw first.
I think it's interesting.
It depends on what we saw first.
Sure.
I remember watching Toonami back in the day, and I remember I learned a lot of empathy from watching anime, but I remember when Frieza was calling the Saiyans monkeys with a hard M. Just, and I remember being like,
hard M and hard K. Yeah, let's be real.
Soft M B.
And monkey? I was like, a monkey. Anyway, the monkey, it hit me as, like, and I was sitting there going, like, oh, so we as a black community don't like Frieza. And Goku and Vegeta, they were a part of that. You know what I mean? Like, Gohan was a part of that for me. It didn't really, I understood that they weren't black as in, like, how I would consider it, but I was empathizing with this concept of this really powerful being showing up and, like, you know, wanting something from you. There's a system in place and they're using slurs against you and killing people and discriminating, da 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 da. I got that. And so, yeah, I think you're right. If we were to go back and just see it for the first time today, I think a lot of people would miss out on like the connection that it brings. I akin it to hip hop. As a hip hop artist, you know what I mean? I love it. It's a wonderful genre. I thoroughly love it. And I think it brings a lot of hope and beauty and real power to people who need it. But it also can be incredibly homophobic and sexist and transphobic. And if you were to drop somebody off at, like, the wrong concert, they would say, oh, this genre is bad. Because of what is being said. And I would be like, I feel like we'd be missing out on, like, a lot of the good, you know? So,
and the tough thing is, right, it's hard to argue that.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. Like, if someone said this genre is bad, you'd be like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same with anime. You'd be like, well, you're not wrong.
There's a YouTube creator I enjoy, FD Signifier, who is a big, big hip hop head. And he's made multiple very, very like feature length videos on various facets of hip hop and various figures in hip hop. And he, in his most recent, I think his most recent hip hop video, which is about white rappers and their influence on the industry and the culture as a whole. He mentioned that his own children, he's been trying to get his own kids into hip hop. He's black. He's trying to get his black kids into hip hop. And they're like, why do they keep calling women bitches and stuff? Like, this kind of seems messed up. And he's like,
and we have to, especially as male identifying people, it is one of those things where that is a thing that we have to do. We have to like go out of our way to be like, yep, that's not right. That was like this not cool thing to do. You know, it happened. We can't go back and change it, but like we're hoping to be able to push things towards a better direction, you know, with our actions and what we consume and what we choose to, you know, acknowledge, which is why that's why I think the anime genre is changing. Because people are saying that kind of stuff out loud. Like I said, you don't see Mr. Popos as often. You don't see these characters as much, the jive talking dudes as much as you did before, because the world's getting smaller. Like we're all hearing each other.
Yeah, and I think also it's about defaults, right? Mm-hmm. Like I always feel like whenever it comes to, you know, like any kind of, you know, art or whatever, it's like when you don't fully understand something, you usually just go for the shorthand, you know, industry-wide kind of accepted thing. You know, so in hip-hop it's like the problem with the referencing women in that way is that you're doing it completely generally with no specificity whatsoever. Like if you're, you know, like it's like my mom always said, like if you're gonna swear, you have to, like my mom always said to me when I was younger, like if you want to swear, you have to understand what the word means before you use the word. And the problem is that whenever you hear these words in hip hop or these slurs, whatever, it's like they're never coming from an educated place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like very rarely are they actually coming from a point where you go, oh, that person is making a commentary on something or is saying something, you know, for a purpose. It's just the default is to call women X or to, you know, dislike this, you know, group of people. And I think it's the same with anime, where it's like the default for a black person in anime was jive talking and this, and do you know what I mean? Like they looked this way and then, and it was like, we don't fully understand it. We have a character in it. We'll just rely on the tropes. You know what I mean? And I think that like, there's two things that are happening, which is that the default is changing. Like that kind of baseline of like, oh, actually, if I'm going to use this language or if I'm going to have someone like that in my show, I need to make sure it's like on purpose. Because like none of us are saying that you can't have characters that talk in that way.
Yeah.
It's just that it can't be just fucking general because you just didn't really know how black people talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
Yeah.
Do it on purpose. You know what I mean? Do it with purpose, say it with your chest kind of thing. And I think it's like the same thing that I would, and then so on top of that, then also people, like you said, the world's getting smaller. People are seeing more examples. People are seeing, you know, we made it to the president. You know what I mean? Like black people, we have a pretty good fucking example that we don't all speak like that now, because everyone had to listen to it. Like everyone's listened to that brother speak at some point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's like, I think that there's a simultaneous like coming together, which is moving a lot of areas in that direction. But I think it's like, as the issue that we've had, and I think to cycle back to sort of D&D and TTRPGs, the issue that we've had is that the default is the like the minimum bar. And we don't see other people sort of doing the like work to get
to
ahead of the default.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
like, you know what I mean? Like to push the bar. It's like too many people are kind of like, oh, okay, we're just going to not have these tropes and not have these kinds of things and not use this kind of language, but we're still not going to like do settings and, you know, whatever that like actively like, you know, uplift these people. And do you know what I mean? It's like, that will be the default in 10 years time. You know what I mean? Like that will be the default. We'll have, you know, settings based in Africa and Asia and South America and, you know, all these places, that, and that will become a default. I guarantee, like I'm 100% sure of it, but it will take 10 years. You know what I mean?
100%.
And so, yeah, like sort of rant about that over, but you know, like,
I think to give my two cents on the issue, I think when it comes to anime and engaging with any kind of work that has a tendency to depict a category of people that I identify with in an ignorant and negative way, it makes me uncomfortable to engage with it because I feel like the creators would have some kind of an issue with me. I think that in most cases when it comes to Japanese media, a lot of what they're depicting are based on like caricatures from old Western cartoons, or at least it used to be. Like if I don't know if y'all have ever seen black people in like Looney Tunes from like the you know 60s and before. Like there's a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's in full blackface at the end of it. And I didn't know what that was, so I just knew that they were singing Dixie at the end of the song, at the end of the episode. And I was like, that's fun, I guess. But I didn't understand what was happening when I was a little kid. But I don't think that excuses it. And definitely, I mean, look, if Japan is anything like Europe in how they engage with race, which is to say they pretend that there's nothing wrong, but there very clearly is if you are in a minority group.
All I'm going to say is I've had lots of friends go to both Japan and areas of mainland Europe and have had very similar experiences.
Yeah. That makes That's perfect
all
sense.
All I'm going to say.
You know what I'm uncomfortable with? I'm less uncomfortable with the media than I am with the idolization of Japan that tends to accompany a lot of nerd circles.
That's
it's like people
realist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People look at Japanese culture, which look, I'm not here to say that Japanese culture is bad. I'm from America. There's plenty of bad stuff in American culture.
Oh yeah, no, we don't. We have a pretty good corner of that market.
Yeah, there's bad stuff in every culture. I
don't know. Sorry, excuse me. Famously, England.
Oh yeah,
you guys
did you
are
see
killing
that
it.
The article? That
sorry,
was
sorry.
Like,
all the bad shit you're talking about. We invented it. Okay, everyone, sit down.
It was like that. Oh, did you see that article that was saying which DMs could beat up which DMs? And they were like, Mark Humes is British, and they're famous. Not a brutal society. I was like, what are you talking about?
That is the way. That is,
have you studied
the PR campaign that was
weak...
done to change
We've
that up
well.
Is amazing.
Honestly, the lift that Queen Lizzie has done, you know what I mean? Like, she has
work.
This frail little, oh, I'm just, I'm just cute.
And Princess Diana. It's a
one-two
punch.
Oh, yeah, no, yep.
The work has done.
And
there's a reason
Disney
why Diana isn't here anymore, and it's not because we're cute.
Yes,
shout out Disney as well for making people think princesses are all nice, and because y'all still had those. People are like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that one video of that guy? I guess he's like an etiquette trainer for the royals talking about how the queen eats a banana.
Banana?
And he starts by saying she doesn't peel it like an ape.
Ape,
it's like,
yikes.
It was, I did see that video and I was like, ooh.
Hey, wait, hold on. Wait, I gotta defend this guy right now. Apes peel bananas.
They
guys.
Do. That's why I said it was weird. It was, because it wasn't wrong.
Like,
also,
it wasn't wrong.
Apes. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't wrong. It was just the way he said it. And you could tell after he said it, he was like, I maybe should have used a different word. Anyway,
yeah,
you'll find that she doesn't peel a banana like one of those silverbacks.
Yeah, like or just like she doesn't peel a banana. This is how you do it. Like you don't be like like everybody who peels bananas are filthy monkeys. I heard Frieza when he said it is what I'm saying. The Frieza came out of him for a moment.
The question is, did you hear the old lady Frieza or the Dragon Ball Z abridged at post Dragon Ball Z abridged proper upper class Frieza? Which one did you
hear? I like Lady Frieza. Growing up, I thought Frieza was a female character, and I don't know if Frieza would be better if it was, but I think that it'd be more interesting because Goku just threw hands with Frieza and didn't think twice about it, and he was like a really powerful person that was like took it really seriously.
Or like some exploration of gender presentation as well.
Yeah.
Like if Frieza was like non-binary, gender fluid or something, I think that'd actually be pretty interesting.
I think genuinely, if I was to ask like my 7-year-old self, I genuinely think if I'd have understood what non-binary meant, which I probably wouldn't have done, but like that's probably how I would have identified Frieza.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that I ever thought of Frieza as a man or a woman.
Yeah,
it was like,
Frieza. Like,
Frieza's just
they were Frieza.
Frieza. You know
they
what I mean? Like,
evil.
Frieza's just doing Frieza. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
full of alien
like, I don't know.
energy and they're sassy.
And actually
and they're a sassy
and a lot
little
of the,
alien.
Like, yeah, say I would probably have said a lot of the same thing for like the androids as well. Like I feel like a lot of the androids were very much kind of set up in that in like a very similar like way. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they ever presented in like a very,
especially Android, you know, like a very was clear-cut it way. 16 or was it the one, the one with the little, 16, mime like, one? Little hat?
18?
Yeah, like the mime one. Chubby dude. Yeah, the mime one. Android, yeah. 19.
I mean, yo, I like, honestly, I'm thinking back through even like Boo as well. Like, oh, yeah. I really wouldn't have said
Boo.
I really wouldn't have said that I'd have prescribed a gender to like
to
you
Boo.
Know,
yeah. and
like
makes sense to not. I feel very that my hot take is I feel really similarly way about Mystique, and I feel like that would be cool to start having those kind of conversations as we as we continue Mystique on is, with that.
Yeah.
Mystique is a way cooler character if you think about them as a sort of, you know, gender fluid person who enjoys feeling both.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, or like all three kind of like, you know, like,
yeah, man, they're woman, gender non-binary. Fluid, like, they'd be whatever.
It's way more interesting than the kind of like secret femme fatale.
Yeah, like, ooh, she's just
a redhead normally. Yeah, it's like, what? Why? Like, it's so weird.
That's how she's depicted in the comics these days. Yeah. I think Mystique is often depicted as gender fluid these days in the comics.
Yeah.
Which is what I like. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I just think it's more interesting.
It is more interesting.
Like, as a character, I just think it's more interesting than like the weird femme fatale kind of like,
blue femme fatale.
To finish my point
about the media.
Someone draw that Boo femme fatale on.
Yeah. sexy Boo. So
with a little red wig.
I think when it comes to individual properties, sometimes I get uncomfortable, like with The Promised Neverland, which was, Promised Neverland, I watched that at your house, Jasper, back in 2020.
Oh, yes.
Unagi showed us that, and it's a good show, but the black woman in that show is like, ugh. I look at it pretty much similar to how you do, Nerdy, where it's like, mostly they're not this is based on ignorance. I think these people probably are racist, but they don't really see black people ever. And I think if they were around black people more, they might reconsider maybe some of the ways that they're engaging.
Very similarly. Like every black person that I've met that engages with their own blackness has an innate ability to almost instantaneously judge whether someone is being intentionally mean or just ignorant. It's a work we have to do, but it's something that we can go like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't know what you just said. Like, you know what I mean?
And the range of outcomes. No, but that's such an important skill, and you're so correct. And do you know why? It's because the range of outcomes is huge.
It's very different.
You know what I mean? It's me. I'm going to sit here and bite my tongue and nod along and just be like, chill, because it's a family dinner and I don't want to cause a scene and you're just being ignorant. Two, I'm going to leap across this table and slap you in the face.
And then you know. Like,
it's I need to be sure. I need to be sure that you're being racist right now. I need to be 100% because I'm a throw. And also, you can see what happens to the white people in the room when they hear it happen. They're like, oh my God. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I think he's not getting angry. So I'm guessing, you know what I mean? Like, you can feel how they get nervous about it.
It's one of the tacks of blackness. It's another thing that we have to do, but it is something that you learn to do, as just like people learn how to walk and how to talk and how to, it's the same thing that I've heard many of my femme presenting friends like talk about their experiences with sexism and with guys doing stuff. They can immediately, they have to take a second, you know what I mean? To go like, did he really mean to say that? Or was he just, you know, just being dumb? Was he just being a guy and he wasn't really thinking about the statement he made? And so it's like like for a great example, going to cosplays, going to things like that, right? In my head, if I walked through a cosplay floor, right? I'm walking through a con floor and someone was like, ooh, look at that hot so-and-so, referring to me, like catcalled me while I'm walking through the thing, that would make my entire year and I would never stop talking about it. However, when I say that to like my women friends, like I can, I've said it, and I can see the look on their face being like, you don't get it. Like, you don't get it. Yeah. Like, you don't actually get it.
You don't have the danger factor.
You don't have, there's no danger for you. It's just like a fun, nice thing for you to have.
That never happens. This is, guys don't usually get that as well.
This is such a perfect example, because think about it. We all know people. We all probably have friends who it would make, white friends, white male friends, who it would make their fucking year if we walked up to them and said, what's up, man? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if we dapped them up and said, what's up? Like, that would be the best moment of their lives. Yeah.
They would have peaked.
They would be so happy. And so it's unreal.
You learn to be like, this person didn't mean to do that, or I can or like, if I were to walk into the room, they would really want to engage with me in a really like a regular way. This is just what they think is a cool thing to do, and they're wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're wrong. And if you've ever had an older white family member try to connect with you on some splat stuff, you know what they're trying to do. Like, you know what I mean? You're okay. Like, we can rock. I know.
Oh, we don't have to do this. Let's just talk about the football. Yeah. Let's just talk about the football. Please.
I can tell you wanted to have me a part of this. It's like, I feel that
please
way.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I am genuinely nerdy. This has been such an incredible first episode back, and I am loving this, and I really genuinely want to talk to you many more hours.
You gotta bounce.
We have to get you back. We've got to get you on a natural play.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we've got to continue this for sure.
I want all of it.
But before we do wrap up this episode, we do need a tale from the table from you.
Ooh, so, yes.
This is something we ask all of our guests. It can be, you know, anything that ranges from happy, funny, sad, moving. Just something that sticks out to you that you've from one of your tables, and it can be from recorded or could have been from a home game or whatever. It's up to you.
And before you tell the story, I want to very quickly shout out. If you want to hear some more of Nerdy's thoughts on some of these topics, go listen to his song "Black Kid White Town."
Yeah, you can check it out.
Yes.
So I want to tell the story about this event that I had, and maybe next time I come on the podcast, I could talk to you a little bit about more how that event actually went down, how it ended for me, which wasn't particularly fun. But I want to end us on a positive note, which changed me, and I'm holding on to it. It's been really great. So I was at this event called Dungeons and Dragons at a Castle. You mentioned it earlier. It was very, very.
We are D&D.
It was a very, very interesting, wonderful event. With an asterisk that we could talk about next time I'm on the podcast. But I meant to ask
you about that too.
I want to talk about my table that I had at that event. So this is my first time doing something like this. Again, I'm still relatively new to the TTRPG world. I've DM'd a lot in my personal life, but like, here I am, these people are paying thousands of dollars to come sit at my table. And I'm just like, you know, I really want to make it a beautiful experience for them. And I come up, I get this table, we're working together. It's 4 days straight of 8-hour sessions of Dungeons and Dragons, which is you don't get that. And
it's
you don't
crazy.
Get that.
Yeah.
It is so, a lot.
One of the puzzles, and they said they were Guinness Book of World Record puzzle solving champions. That isn't a joke. Like, that they were. Like, they're like, we want puzzles. We do puzzles. This is what we do. They travel around the world setting records for escape rooms and stuff. Like, that's their bag.
Dang.
So they're here playing Dungeons & Dragons. They want some puzzles. And so one of the puzzles that I had for them was they did a bunch of riddles to gather a bunch of musical instruments from this room full of just random detritus. After they find the instruments, my DJ put all of the different instruments into a musical loop. He built a beat there because he was doing my sound effects. And they had to write a rap for a giant concert full of clockwork, like concert goers that would turn on them.
Whoa.
If they didn't do this, right? In order to get the MacGuffin that they needed for the thing. I thought, whoa, this is going to be a bridge too far. Like, in my head, I was like, here, you know what I mean? Like, these people are coming in. Some of them have never played Dungeons & Dragons before. You know, here they are in a different country. And I'm asking them to do one of the hardest parts of Dungeons & Dragons, which is performing in character or, like, you know, public speaking or doing music. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, I'm going to ask them to do this. We're going to go to lunch. If they come back and they tell me they don't really want to do it, I'll just have them roll for performance and we'll just let it be. I get back from lunch. They all sit down. They're like, drop the beat. And I was like, okay. They come with a full rap. Like a full, they spent all lunch writing it. And they come back and they're all rapping on beat, by the way.
Whoa. Like just
rapping. And they do a whole rap. And I just remember sitting there and I was beaming. You know, beaming like from ear to ear, because I realized here I am in Europe for the first time my whole life. Here I am in the UK. I'm in a castle. I'm doing hip hop for Guinness Book of World Records, playing Dungeons and Dragons, and they're rapping for me. Like I've injected my love of hip hop into this game, and so often in my life, I thought the D&D portion of my life and the hip hop portion, or to be really honest, the D&D portion of my life and the black portion of my life would never coincide. Yeah. And here we are. Rapping and playing Dungeons and Dragons. It was very, very beautiful. I'll never forget it. It was a wonderful experience, and that's my tale.
Beautiful. Oh,
that is wonderful. I love that so much. It's I feel beautiful. Like, yeah, there's just truly something so magical about that. And like you said, I think it was in essence the exact reason we started this podcast was because me and Jeremy were like, can we be black and play D&D? Or do we have to be like, you know what I mean? Do we have to be black and play D&D?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So
I definitely think that you know that resonates a lot. And like I remember having very similar experiences when we did our first Wagadu campaign, you know, and there was like, or even just like when we've done sort of very specific campaigns set in very specific places, and we've, you know, been able to explore things, and like me and you have, you know, Jeremy have remarked several times where we go, oh shit, did we just do that? Playing Dungeons and Dragons? That's cool.
Yeah.
Like that's like something I've never done before or whatever. So I love that a lot. Nerdy, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much
for
taking the time to come on the show, for talking to us. It was an absolute delight. And maybe we'll get you back. We'll hear that story about D&D and we can run through some of our favorite cartoons and figure out black or not.
Get some more black or not out of here.
Excited about that. But Nerdy, before you leave us, please tell everyone where they can find you online, what you have coming up, and just generally anything that you would like to plug. The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, thank you once again for having me. This is super dope. I feel like I've officially made it in the black D&D TTRPG spaces now that I've been on the Halflings. So
you can't leave the green room.
I can't leave the green room. I'm going to go back into the green room to serve out the rest of my days. But
before I go,
please. Yeah. please, the Hotel California that is the beer. So I am Halfling on California. All over the media, all over the world, Nerdy, NUR-D. You can look me up on socials at Nerdy Rocks, NURD Rocks, like multiple Dwayne Johnsons. It's really easy to find. You'll find me on Tales of Novum, which is a really fun actual play channel, which has a running storyline now of like 4 or 5 different campaigns. And so you can find some of my work there. You can find me randomly on the Dice Cream Sandwich channel doing one shots and TTRPGs and stuff. If you're going to Gen Con, you'll see me there. But most importantly, if you're in the Minnesota area or in the Midwest in general and want to see something really cool, April 5th and 6th, I don't know when this comes out, but April 5th and 6th, 2024, your boy is going to be at the Minnesota Orchestra performing. They're going to be doing my music 2 nights. It's going to be a full symphonic Grammy award-winning orchestra.
Whoa.
We're gonna be rocking, putting the blowing it up. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, if you want to hear 20 cha and like some nerd stuff done in full symphonic orchestra style, April 5th and 6th, come check
that's
it out.
So cool.
Damn, will this be available afterwards? Like,
yeah,
will there to be check a out?
We're trying, like right now with everything that's going on and how well things have been going with the process, the chance of this being recorded and sent out to people is not out of the question. So, you know, the world might be coming.
That's no substitute for being there in person.
But so you want to see it live, but who knows? We might be able to get you out there. For those of you across the globe, all of the halflings and those trapped in the infinite void of the green room as well.
Yes. And I actually have an excuse for not being there, because on April 5th, I'm going to be in London
at the Three Black Halflings live show.
A flawless segue. Yes. You really have been covering for me. Yes. A flawless segue. Thank you. Please continue.
Yes. April 5th, if you want to see Three Black Halflings live, if you are not in the American Midwest and you want to instead spend some time with the Halflings, we are going to be doing a live show in London. Tickets are available. Actually, you can get them. The link is in the description of this episode. Go buy your tickets. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be an amazing time. Our first ever live show. It'll be part of history or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? This will be the first ever proper live show that we've done. I'm already seeing us, but like all three of us so nervous before going on, even though all experienced and have been on stage multiple times. I feel like this is going to feel
sobbing, crying,
this is going to feel different
backstage.
Yeah. Yeah. All this is going to hit different for sure. So wonderful. What black joy and excellence across the globe on that day. What a great thing.
It's going to be great. We're taking it up.
Hell yes. Jeremy, a flawless segue. You deserve the floor now.
Oh, thank you.
To talk about anything that you would like to plug and or shout out.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Jeremy Cobb 1. That is Cobb with two B's, the number one. You can find me on Instagram at The Cobb Meister. And you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/casualquestlive, where I stream video games. I'm myself not a gamer, but I'm very much a casual, but I'm trying to become a gamer. And so if you want to watch me play a bunch of classic and or new games for the first time, come check it out. I'm actually, Jasper, you'll be interested in this. This week, as of the recording, this Thursday, I'm going to be finishing Fallout New Vegas. It was the first game I ever...
starting it again?
Starting all over again. this time, joining the Legion. No, we just finished Lonesome Road with, I guess, possibly the only prominent black character in that game, Ulysses.
Oh boy.
Who's relegated to the DLC and speaks in exclusively ASMR tones about bears and bulls. We're going to be finishing up that that game this Thursday, but you won't be able to hear that by the time this is released. So just come check it out. By then I may be playing Metal Gear Solid 2. I'll probably still be doing Baldur's Gate 3, and by then I may have started Disco Elysium, which is a game I have played, but is a game I love, and we're just going to stream it because not enough people have seen the game in action. So
I'm Jeremy. I'm going to be doing more streaming soon. So if there's ever a space for me to jump onto a Disco Elysium stream, because you've been telling me to play that game for a long time,
it's true.
Let me know.
Yeah,
I'll come and hang out with you even while you play it.
Absolutely.
I've got a little bit of parting wisdom before I tell you where to follow me, etc., which is just that I've just realized something. I don't know if this is wisdom, actually. This is just a thought that I've just had, which is that by moving the needle, not at all since I was like 15, as in by being the same level of a gamer as I was when I was 15 as I am now, I've realized that I have become so much less a gamer because the bar has got so much higher.
Yes.
I've just realized, as Jerry was saying then about not being a gamer, I was like, dude, you're a gamer. I was like, no. He's a gamer by like, you know, 2010 standards. Mm. Now, you know, we've got kids that just play Fortnite and do it professionally. And,
yep.
You know, I'm like, yeah. They're gamers.
That's
you
a
know?
Job now.
I love me some Call of Duty Zombies, but there's people that play that professionally now.
Yep.
I can't claim to be a gamer anymore. And it just made
game.
Me sad.
I am not a gamer. Yes.
I game now. Mm-hmm. I lost the ER.
Yeah, you lost the ER.
I lost the ER.
But sometimes it's nice. But it's a shame. It's not.
Yeah, but in this instance, no, I lost the ER. So it's been wonderful to be back. I've been Jasper William Cartwright. You can follow me at JW_Cartwright on all the social medias. And I do stream occasionally. I'll probably be ramping that back up a little bit more now that I've settled into a bit of a routine with my baby. Please follow out all of my stuff. Go check out Rotating Heroes. We've just released Arc 9, which has the wonderful Vic Michaelis and Rashawn Scott in it. And that's really, really cool. Has way too many parallels to Fantasy High. I didn't do it on purpose. I was just quite tired at the time when I came up with the concept. We are where we are. Apologies, everyone. Or you're welcome if you love Fantasy High. And you can check out the show at 3, that's the number 3, Black Halflings across social media. And you can follow us, all the cool things we do. Check out the links in the description below, but join our Patreon. You get more content. Yada, yada. You've heard it before. Or if you haven't, just check out the description below. There's loads of cool stuff there, including, you know, merchandise and stuff. But anyway, enough of that. Nerdy, thank you once again for coming on. It was such a blast. Please go and check out all of Nerdy's stuff. It's absolutely amazing. And we will be back with you next week. So long, Shire folk.
So long,
Shire folk. Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.